The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with John Couch, John Engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. And together we welcome you to Buckmaster. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on this Friday before Christmas. It's Friday, December the 20th, 2019. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Hanukkah, which begins at sunset this Sunday and runs through December the 30th. So a happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends. What about Kwanzaa? Don't forget the people who are celebrating Kwanzaa. Happy Kwanzaa week. That's a week-long celebration that begins on December 26th, which is also known as Boxing Day. So lots of places like Canada, England celebrate Boxing Day. Kind of stretches Christmas a little bit. We're live weekdays Monday through Friday during the noon hour on 1030 Tucson's Voice for Trusted News Talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. 790-2040 is our live line number. Our media partners, Dylan Smith is with us. Dylan is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you've been pretty much a legacy partner of the program since we launched the first week in January 2011. So we're coming up on 9 full years. I just want to say publicly, thank you very much for your support.
Well, thank you so much for yours. It's very much appreciated. And we're very happy to help spread the word about the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you very much. The Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, that's our friend Dan Shear, Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, which includes Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Today, instead of a newsmaker interview, I have invited our friends who are regulars on our roundtable portion of the program to share some of their thoughts about 2019 and looking ahead to 2020. Joining me in studio, Dylan Smith. You just heard from Mr. Smith. He is the founder, publisher, editor of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. He's also very busy outside of his day-to-day duties. He's vice president of the Arizona Press Club. He's the immediate past president of the local independent online news publishers known as Lion Press. Tim Steller is with us, columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Tim is fueled up right now on sugar and cherries. I shared with him a little bit of these chocolate-covered cherries from Chuker Cherries in eastern Washington. How are they, Tim?
They're delicious, and I'm feeling extremely buzzy.
Yeah, this was a good year for you, too. You were awarded that. Fill me in again with that, the award you were given.
It's called a Pulliam Fellowship for Editorial Writers and Columnists. And, it's a grant of money. And then with your employer giving you some time, you do a special project, learn some new skills, that kind of thing.
And there's travel.
Oh, yeah. I was in, let me see, last trip I took was Mexicali and Tijuana, yeah, which is a couple weeks ago. Did some reporting there. We published a little bit of what I learned there, but the thrust of it is still to come.
Okay. Did you say Pulliam, like the Pulliam newspapers?
Yes.
Yeah, one time the Arizona Republic was part of the Pulliam family.
Yep. It's a scholarship or a fellowship funded by that family, by that Gene Pulliam.
Okay. Yeah. Joe Ferguson is with us. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very well.
Joe is a political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. He also is very busy when he's not working for the Star. He's part of the Arizona Press Club, where he is a board member, correct, Joe?
That's correct.
All right. Let's begin. Rather than dig right into what, some of the top stories of 2019, we had a pretty good news week. Dylan,
something happened this week?
Yeah, we had ex-sheriff Chris Nanos announcing.
Oh, you mean locally?
Yeah, locally.
And of course, there was some other news going on, too.
Well, the impeachment, too. And by the way, before I bring up this Nanos thing, has there been reaction, Tim, from and Joe and about the vote of some of our local lawmakers on the impeachment thing?
I mean, it's pretty predictable. There's reaction.
O'Halloran.
Which is, the O'Halloran's in a swing district that Trump won by percentage point. So, you know, Republicans are criticizing him for his yes vote and hoping that that will help them turn the district to a Republican victory this year. But I don't know.
He's got a ton of competition, Joe, in that district.
You know, we'll see who comes, who rises to the top of that
Tiffany
competition.
Shield is going to try.
Shed. She's the Republican.
She's going to run again, yeah.
But there's also, two Democrats? Eva Putsova, and who's the other one?
Yeah, I'm blanking on the name of the other Democrat. Mm. Why isn't it a former state senator?
Mm. Barb McGuire.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's going to be a busy race. We'll see, you know, what happens in the primary, and then, you know, we'll see how competitive the race is. Mm-hmm. I suspect that, you know, you're going to see a lot of money being poured into CD2 again, where, you know, Anne has been very vocal about her opinions on impeachment. So I think that, you know, that might be a race to watch next year.
Mm. You know, for
certainly,
me,
none of their votes were, you know, unpredictable. They were all party line, obvious.
It's funny.
Nobody voted present.
So with District 1, I'm kind of once bitten, twice shy on that. I once upon a time, especially when Jonathan Payton ran for that office in, that was 8 years ago, I believe.
At least.
I really thought he was going to win. Mm-hmm. And he lost by, I think about 5 percentage mm-hmm. points. Mm-hmm. And since then, we've had Andy Tobin, Paul Babiaux, and Wendy Rogers all run as Republicans against, you know, moderate Democrats and Kirkpatrick mm-hmm. and Tom O'Halloran. Mm-hmm. And they haven't come close, you mm-hmm. know. So while I can see why Republicans would target mm-hmm. O'Halloran for sure, I mean, he looks vulnerable, but it's hard for me to believe at this stage it's going to happen.
Well, here's the thing is that, you know, if you go back just a little bit farther back, you know, there was this gentleman named Paul Gosar that defeated Ann Kirkpatrick while she was in the House running for re-election. So certainly that district can swing the other way. And, you know, Gosar defeated an incumbent.
Yeah, but that was 2010, right?
Right. It was the rise of the Tea Party. It was a little bit of a different time. But certainly, you know, we've seen that kind of go back and forth. And even longer ago, there was a gentleman named Rick Renzi. And before he was a federal prisoner, he was representing that district as well. Mm. So it goes back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. So it's going to be a competitive race. Although I should remind our listeners that Tom O'Halloran used to be a Republican.
That's right, when he was in the legislature. Dylan, we have the ex-sheriff, Chris Nanos. Sheriff Nanos served for a year and a half. He was appointed after Clarence Dubnyk, longtime sheriff. He was like one of the longest-running sheriffs in the United States. I want to say like 40 years, something like that.
But going back to 1980,
wow.
I believe.
Wow. Anyway, Chris Nanos was appointed. He served a year and a half, and Chris is a Democrat. He was defeated by a Republican, the current sheriff, Mark Napier. So now Nanos has decided he's going to run again to try to set up a rematch.
Indeed, and we'll see if he gets some traction. You know, it's not always the best thing for your future political career to lose an election. It makes, you know, people start to you know, question whether you can run a winning race again. And given, you know, all of the fervor that's going to be taking place, you know, with all of our elections next year, trying to get some traction as a local candidate a little bit down the ballot is going to be kind of a hard thing to do.
That's kind of looking ahead to 2020. That's kind of what I would put at the top of the list, of course, is the election and the fact that just about everybody in Pima County is up for election. We've had longtime people, Tim, that like the Pima County Recorder, F.N. Rodriguez. The treasurer is not, we have a new treasurer. Is that
County
right?
Attorney.
County attorney. I mean, this is going to be the big story in 2020, the election.
Yeah, locally. I mean, yeah, it's a massive turnover. The one place that we haven't seen for sure turnover that we expected was on the Pima County Board. Yeah. For a while, there's been, you know, talk that any or all of the Democrats might step away from their positions, and so far they're not. We have Sharon Bronson, Ramon Valadez, and Richard Elias, and there's
they're all going to be standing
all allegedly
again.
Standing for re-election. Yep. And the one who we were not thinking was going to step away, Ally Miller, is indeed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, yeah, so that's the one area where I thought the board for sure would have experienced some sort of revolution, but no.
And getting back to Sheriff Nanos, he kind of got into it on Facebook today with I won't mention the name of the gentleman, but he's usually all over Facebook. But he got into it with him, and this gentleman was accusing Nanos of being like corrupt and all this. And the response from Chris Nanos was, "Look, I only had a year and a half when I came in to clean up this department. So there you go."
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I buy that. It's, you know, Dupnik at some point when he was sheriff was. Had to make a decision as to who he was going to name as a heir apparent.
Right.
And there were various times he could have chosen someone. Finally, at the end, he chose Chris Nanos. And Nanos was made chief deputy and functionally...
And that was about a year before the appointment,
at least
a year.
He functionally ran the department for most of Dupnik's last term, including the time when he was actually sheriff. So I don't think it's right to say that like he doesn't bear responsibility for what happened, especially in the time after he was kind of named a chief deputy and made the likely go-to guy for the next Democratic nomination.
Well, we'll certainly hear from the sheriff, former sheriff, on the program here. We'll hear from lots of candidates in 2020, but right now you're going to hear from me, Tim and Joe and Dylan. Talking about the home of the Danish Kringle. that is Mona's Danish Bakery, yes. Northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Joe has sampled the Kringle, and I believe he called it that his taste buds exploded.
It's hard to walk away from that. So
yes, and I know Dylan has been a big supporter of Mona's Danish
Bakery.
I'm
a fan.
They're open right now, of course, for lunch, and they do a hot breakfast. But right now, I want to talk about the Christmas, and this has been the huge week for them. Tim, if you were to be given this choice. Because I know you have a sweet tooth like I do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tim, would you prefer on Christmas pumpkin pie, apple, blueberry, cherry, or pecan?
I assume we're talking about dessert, right?
Mona's, yeah,
this is not
dessert.
The main course.
I mean, you could make course. You know. Being a sweet tooth, not
did you say
like,
cherry?
Yeah, cherry is.
I would say either cherry or pecan.
No, you can't say either.
Okay, then if I have to do one, I make a cherry.
Okay, Joe.
Well, it's cherry. I got to back them up.
Dylan?
Personally, I would probably say apple, but in the interest of domestic harmony in my household, I'd probably have to come home with a pecan pie.
I thought so. And for the Kringle comes in the traditional custard, cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, pecan. Tim?
Did you say rhubarb?
No, I didn't. I mean, that does sound like
a
real
nice
choice. Try it again.
Okay. The traditional custard, the cherry, strawberry, blueberry, lemon, apricot, or pecan. Come on.
I'll go with pecan.
Okay, Joe?
No, I'm still going to stick with strawberry.
Okay, and Dylan?
Pecan.
Yeah, very good choices. All right, make your call right now, 7579-1959. Tell Steve, chief baker and owner, what you would like as far as pies, as far as the Kringle will be for your Christmas morning. And, you know, there'll be some leftover, maybe some leftovers.
There's not going to be any leftover.
For Boxing Day. And we didn't talk about the dinner rolls. Steve has suggested... challah bread, is that how it's pronounced? Did I screw it up?
Challah
bread, and that sounds like it could be a very interesting choice for the dinner table. Anyway, Mona's Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise. We continue on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is, well, it's kind of our year in review program today. Tim Steller is here from the Star. His compadre over at the paper, Joe Ferguson, is here as well. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. One of our teammates, Dan Scheer, on the live line. Dan, we want to thank you for joining in the conversation. What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, we've got a lot going on down here, and 2019 has been a big year for us. Did you want to talk about Nanos first,
yeah,
or what do you
sure.
want to?
Yeah, okay, go
Nanos
ahead.
Nanos is, you know, boy, what an interesting figure. And we, I have mentioned on your show before that we talked to him at length after he got beat in 2016 and wrote a pretty long story about it, talked to him for hours about his whole career, and we figured we were winding it up. In fact, the headline on the story was End of the Trail.
Yeah.
And, and he certainly told us, yeah, I have no intention of ever running again, but certainly he can change his mind. You know, you do have to wonder that he is going to be tied into a lot of stuff that went on that last year of his administration, and whether he is going to claim responsibility for it or say that he inherited it. The fact is he was in the department for, you know, a real long time, and he's going to have to answer for it. So it'll be real curious to see what how that all plays out. And of course, it looks like he's going to be facing somebody in the primary also. So so we'll see how this is, plays out. I'm a little bit surprised that he jumped in, but not real surprised. I don't think that he felt that he was done, but I also knew that he would never take a lesser role than being the sheriff. So,
all right. Well, while we have you on the line, top story of the year for you and your region, Green Valley, or it can be Tucson, wherever you want to limit it to.
Well, I'm going to focus on Sahuarita, and we've had a lot of home sales this past year. We've had a lot of retail come in, a lot of growth, and the town is looking at what it calls a town square, and it's really going to be focused not so much on businesses as it is open space and a place for people to gather. So they're still putting together the town of Sahuarita and what they want it to look like, and that's been a real interesting process, and there's just a ton of growth down here. We know it's going to continue. The big story for us this next year is that an 18-bed hospital is going to open up in Sahuarita, and what is that going to do to the Green Valley Hospital, which is about 9 miles away, and it's a 49-bed hospital that has been struggling financially since it opened a few years ago. So nobody believes that two hospitals that close together in a semi-rural setting can make it. So we are going to see what happens there. But as we also know up in Sahuarita, the hospital brings with it a lot of development, and we're seeing this already, a lot of interest in that. So while it's good economic news, it could be bad news for Green Valley Hospital if they can't get their act together, and they have about a year to do it before the Sahuarita Hospital opens.
All right, Tim?
Hey, Dan, quick question. How much impact have you seen from the ASARCO mine strike there in Sahuarita, since one of the main mines is right there, the Mission Complex?
The way we've been covering that is through the needs of the miners being met by the local community, which would be the food bank, which hosted a resource fair, and we had quite a few miners go to it. We've been in touch with both food banks, and they've said they've definitely seen an uptick in that. We had a local church that's been involved in just kind of encouraging the miners, and as one of the people at the food bank told us, you know, this is the first strike for a lot of these people. They really don't know what to expect. And particularly since a lot of people live paycheck to paycheck, what's going to happen when that first one doesn't come? So we've been on top of it as far as not so much the negotiations going on there, although we kind of keep our finger on that, but more of how it's being impacting the families that live in our community. So
yes.
It's big, and unfortunately, when you know we put the spotlight on it, then we take it off as media. These people are still going through this stuff, so we're trying to stay in touch with them.
Dylan Smith, go ahead.
I got just a quick question. Dan, how many weeks has that strike been going on already?
Oh, gosh, I'm trying to remember.
It was October 13th.
So are
16th.
we like 12
about
weeks?
10
or
weeks.
10 or 12 weeks?
Yeah. Hmm.
So, yeah, that's several missed paychecks at this point.
Well, right, and we saw it from the beginning. Although for a lot of people, it just seemed that there was a kind of a delayed response. We didn't have people coming in right away needing help, but mm-hmm. now they've been inundated. And again, a lot of people have stepped up.
And so these strikers seem to be holding firm at this point?
You know, that is a family-by-family answer. I think they're firm in what they want, but I think they're seeing potentially devastating economic effects personally, and more and more they're kind of opening up to us about that.
Okay, guys, before I let you go, Dan, here is what I would consider one of the top stories, certainly of the year, the Rosemont Mine and the delay. The 1872 mining law might be a little bit in being challenged here, and Rosemont being put on the back burner is a big story. Guys, your reaction?
Rosemont is a big story, and the 1872 mining law has really been where the attention should have been. There have been minor tweaks to it, of course, over the last 150 years, but nothing major. I mean, that's what allows these types of things to go in and go through. In a lot of situations, obviously, this one's a little bit different. Again, on the local level, we're seeing that HUD Bay has pulled an agreement from the people who live just outside of Sahuarita who are on wells. hotels. The agreement had been in place for 10 years, and what it does is that Hudbay or Augusta, who used to own the mine, would pay for any well repairs that people had in exchange for them not suing if the water level went down once they started mining. And they've ended that agreement, and they said they will reinstate it if the mine gets up and rolling here in 2 or 3 more years. So we have seen those types of impacts locally.
It's really amazing to think back to earlier this year when the work was either beginning or poised to begin, the preparatory work in constructing the mine.
Yep.
I think it had begun in a minor degree.
Mm-hmm.
And a minor preparation. And then the ruling came down from the U.S. District Court here, and
that's put on hold. I know, it's huge. Yeah. Dan, we're going to let you go, sir. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great holiday. Merry Christmas to you and your wonderful family. Thank you.
Same to you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Dan, for all of your service. Joe, what's your top story? You have not reacted to Rosemont. Do you think, am I in the ballpark?
I absolutely think that Rosemont is the biggest story coming out of 2019. It's just, I think, something that we're going to be grappling with for years to come now in terms of what its future is and how it's going to impact the local economy.
Dylan, what do you think?
The top story?
Yeah. You're going with the border, I bet.
My top story of this past year would be, just in general, the border, immigration, and how all of this, national level turmoil is directly affecting us here in southern Arizona with, new replacement portions of the wall being built in some limited instances. The idea that more and more new wall, new fence might be built. And, lately, when there were many lanes closed at the border crossing, that has a pretty serious and direct and immediate impact on our economy here.
Up to 6-hour wait in some cases. Is that going to discourage Mexican shoppers from coming to Tucson?
Well, of course it did in that period. Fortunately, they backed off some of that.
Oh, have they?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that was just a 1-day, 2-day thing. But they do it ad hoc. They do it when they feel they have to. I agree with Dylan that I would view that as the kind of big broad topic of the year. I would narrow it down to asylum and asylum seekers when you look at the national and local impact. If you think back to early this year, remember the monastery. That was an incredible operation.
Yeah, thousands of
people moving through being and taken care of by a massive,
at least hundreds of local people helped. Maybe it's even in the thousands.
Yeah,
that
but what was so impressive about it was how organized it was.
Right.
And I wrote a column too saying that not only did that thing work amazingly, mm-hmm. but it didn't affect other charities. I mean, people were just kind of adding their own, throwing in to volunteer at the monastery or other. There were also other churches, one that I volunteered at teaching a few simple English for traveler classes. I did that for a few weeks.
What church was that?
That was at Rincon Congregational mm-hmm. UCC. I can't remember mm-hmm. the full name mm-hmm. of the church, but yeah. And they don't have a shelter there anymore. But at a local level, that had such an impact. And at the national level, it's what's still persisting with the Migrant Protection Protocol, i.e. Remain in Mexico program and other efforts by the administration to minimize the arrival of asylum or asylum seekers or refugees.
And Joe, one of the big stories of the year is the city election. We've have our first Latina woman mayor, right?
Yeah.
And she may now be in for 5 years.
It looks like that's probably the case. I don't want to jinx it, but it seems to me that the fight with the state that's almost inevitable suggests that they'll move the elections back to even number years. And so whether you love them or hate them, I think that they're all going to have 5-year terms when the dust settles.
So they automatically get an extra year? Is that how it would work?
It would.
We've got people
I think
up for re-election, not next year, but in 21.
Well, but the state's going to say that you can't hold the election in 21 anymore, and you're going to have to move it back to 22.
Wow.
So,
so that's a bonus. You get elected for a 4-year term and they get an extra bonus year.
Actually, it could be a bit hairy for people who have larger political ambitions.
Ooh, there you go.
So depending on what race you're running for, you might have to resign to run.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you wouldn't be able to overlap kind of in the last year of your term and not give up your seat as mayor or on the council and be able to run for Congress, say.
Right. So it's going to be very interesting. I think 2022, we're going to have some redistricting going on. So Tucson could see another seat, depending on what the census tells us.
Or maybe CD1 come down a little bit closer, taking more Tucson area, who knows?
Redistricting is such a fuzzy, complex thing. We'll be interested to see the maps start looking like in 2021, but you know, that could have an impact on a lot of local races and people who've been waiting in the wings to run for higher political office.
All right, Jim Nintzel's waiting in the wings at the Tucson Weekly, where he's the executive editor. But Jim, we're going to keep you for a few minutes here while we take the break. He'll be with us, another one of our teammates from the roundtable. Nintzel's waiting in the wings, and it's Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Tim Steller, Joe Ferguson, Dylan Smith, me, Bill Buckmaster. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. With me in studio, Joe Ferguson of the Star, his friend and colleague at the Star, Tim Steller, Dylan Smith with me in studio from Tucson Sentinel. Jim Nintzel, the executive editor of the Tucson Weekly, is with us on the live line. Jim, how are you?
Oh, you know, we're just barreling towards our holiday deadlines. It's an exciting time.
Have you taken the kids to see Santa?
Yeah, you know what? I got really lucky. I went down to the Tucson Museum of Art last weekend. They had Santa hanging out. There was no lines. Nobody was there. We spent like half an hour with Santa.
Were the girls well-behaved?
They were great. They're very excited about seeing him, and I think they landed on the nice list. So, you know, there's still time between now and Christmas, but it looks like they're going to have a good holiday.
Oh, that one daughter is quite a pistol that was dancing around thanking me for the cookie pie that I sent you.
But, you know, those kids love that cookie pie. They were very, very happy.
All right. Jim, what's the top story of the year for you?
Well, you know, I got to agree, certainly the immigration stuff you guys have been talking about probably overlapped everything, you know, between the wall construction and the diversion of the funds and the environmental impacts involved there and the migrants, as you guys were talking about, at the monastery, and then the controversy over moving them over to the county jail and the USMCA and the tariffs and et cetera, et cetera. And you know, I think it remains a massive wedge issue, not only here, but across the country. And Trump's certainly going to try to use that as a major way to remain in office. I think, you know, moving on from that, the Rosemont thing, also huge, and the question of whether this does put a little crack into the old mining law and the issue of, you know, whether or not they're going to be able to use that as a tailings dump, that federal land as a tailings dump, is a fascinating twist in the battle over the mine. But the thing I think that's going to be even bigger in 2012 is this announcement that Mark Kelly is going to face Martha McSally in 2020. And I think this is going to be a battle that can not only determine control of the U.S. Senate, but it's also a grudge match in a lot of ways. You know, Mark Kelly has brought together a lot of the political machine that put Gabby Giffords and Ron Barber into office. And certainly Martha McSally and Ron Barber had those two huge fights. And then I think you're going to see people who know each other very well battling for that U.S. Senate seat, and it's going to be a barn burner, and it's probably going to set records in terms of campaign spending.
Well, let's not forget, I mean, one detail alone makes it really special for Tucson, which is two probable major party candidates from Tucson,
right?
From the two different major parties running for a U.S. Senate seat. When has that happened before? I can't even think of it.
I don't
Absolutely
know.
True.
Yeah. Now, not that Mark Kelly has been playing up his Tucson credentials. I run into him here and there, but don't hear from him very often, other than the occasional email from the campaign.
Yeah, you wonder why he's not servicing the local media. Maybe it's not that important, but whatever.
Yeah, well, maybe not. Certainly Phoenix is where the population is.
Sure. Jim, Joe, any comments about Joe or Dylan, anything that Jim's been saying? We talked a little bit about Rosemont. I echo what he says there.
Well, I think that, you know, when we talk about Mark Kelly, I think that it's probably going to be one of the biggest races in the country. It's seen as a possible way for the Dems to take back the Senate. And so I think that we're going to see that race be one that will be a national race, where you're going to see a lot of reporters just dedicated to following Mark Kelly and Martha McSally around. I know that the DCCC has already started to put money into this race in terms of monitoring some of the stuff that Martha's doing. And so I think you're going to see a lot of attention to this race that we just haven't seen in Arizona in quite some time.
I mean, I think it's going to be really interesting to see if we as journalists can pin down Mark Kelly and some of his positions on the issues. I mean, these politicians tend not to try to avoid taking firm stands. And I think his campaign so far has distinguished itself that way. But then on the other side, Martha McSally, you know, has gone further and further and further toward the Trump supporting toward Trump support as that has taken over the party that she's a part of. And I just can't imagine how that's going to play in the general election. Of course, a lot of that depends on how events unfold in 2019-2020. But you know, her trap has always been that she has to appeal to Trump supporters mm-hmm. in order to win the nomination, mm-hmm. and then she has to turn around and appeal to a general electorate that's pretty ho-hum on Trump in order to win the general election.
And she's doubled down and doubled down again on you know, being in the Donald Trump camp.
Quadrupled down, right?
Jim, what else? How about the resurgence continuing of downtown? I think that's a huge story.
Yeah, you know, that they have certainly managed to continue. I think last year Rio Nuevo got a big win at the Arizona legislature with an extension of the TIF district for, I think, another 25 years or something like that. You guys may remember the details a little better than I do.
I think it is 25 years.
That's certainly going to provide the money that they're looking for to start with some renovations of the Tucson Convention Center, which they've announced this year. So, yeah, a lot of interesting things, including the news that we're getting another hotel in downtown mm-hmm. Tucson with the conversion of that, what's it called? The
One South Church. It doesn't have a
South
name,
Church.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the building, that huge tower that has gone through so many different tenants over the years. And that's going to be a huge remodel job, certainly, to transform that into a hotel. So, the news has been certainly good in downtown. I think looking ahead to 2020, we're going to see a lot of new faces. You know, not only is my favorite county supervisor retiring, Allie Miller, but we're also going to lose our county recorder, FN Rodriguez. Our county attorney, Barbara LaWall, has already said that she's stepping down. I suspect Bill Staples, the county assessor, is not running for re-election, and Treasurer Beth Ford may not be running for re-election. And, so it's going to be a lively political year with a lot of changing of the guard Pima County.
What's really interesting about this is the Pima County way has not taken hold with it. We didn't have people, you know, retiring a year or
early,
you know, 14, 16 months before the end of their term so that they could have their favored person appointed and then be able to run for re-election, as an incumbent. And that has happened, you know, time and time and time again in Pima County. And here we have all these people who are leaving office and maybe even more who are not going to run again, and they have not done that, or
yeah,
at least
serving
not done
their terms
yet.
In all cases so far, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really...
And the Wall and Rodriguez have both said they are going to finish out their terms.
You know, perhaps they learned something from the Chris Nanos experience.
Sure.
As you guys were discussing earlier, and then I think that's a fascinating rematch developing there, and I think you part of it may be that people weren't seeing a solid Democratic candidate emerging, and Nanos was the best bet they had in terms of finding somebody to run for that office. But I think he's certainly got his work cut out for him, given how things went for him the last time out. And Mark Napier may even have some trouble from the right flank in this county, because he's been a fairly moderate sheriff.
Right, yeah, he's got the opposite problem of Martha McSally. He's got to appeal to a moderate electorate. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the same problem in that he has to get through a primary of Trump supporters, and then he's got to appeal to a moderate Democrat-dominated electorate.
He's kind of taking the opposite approach and being governing, at least, running his office more moderately.
Yeah.
Although he keeps going, you know, he keeps taking trips to the White House to
seen
and be seen there to try and bolster his, you know, Trump credentials.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the problems these candidates are going to have, Jim Nintzel, on the local level is getting enough airtime and space that reporters are going to write about them, because this is going to be such a crowded field. Some of these races are going to get lost, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And I think by the time McSally and Kelly finish buying airtime, there's not going to be anything left for anybody.
No.
If I can return to one thing that Jim was talking about earlier, the downtown developments, I think one thing an issue that we've seen creeping up that I wouldn't be surprised to see become very prominent in 2020 is incentives, and in concert with the concept of gentrification. there's been a lot of talk, especially on the West Side, about the idea that people are being displaced by rising home prices in old neighborhoods near downtown. And one place where you can point a finger and not just blame the free market is on the projects that are built through taxpayer incentives. These are things that might not happen if they didn't have, for example, property tax abatements or something like that. And I'm quite convinced that on the city council, they're going to be forced to take a fresh look at how frequently, how freely they give the incentives if it's shown that they are having a negative effect on neighborhood residents in the neighborhoods around downtown.
We've already heard pledges from different council members saying that they're going to have a tough time, say, building on 4th Avenue new student housing dorms. So they are that a fresh
well, that's a shame.
yeah, but, you know, part of the problem there is that the zoning's essentially in place for that kind of construction, that kind of high-rise construction. And so the incentive programs are basically the way the city can have some kind of leverage to try to create what are called community benefit agreements that groups like Local First have been pushing for along 4th Avenue. And I should mention my nephew, Michael Peel, is heading up Local First here in Southern Arizona when I say that. But, I think that, that's the one point of leverage that city officials have on some of these projects.
Jim, we're going to have to run. Have a great Christmas. All the best to you and your family. Thank you for your support to this program. I appreciate it.
Happy holidays to all of you, and same back to you.
Thank you very much. Tim Stuller, you spent some time at Alvernon and Grant. You'll be writing about it in Sunday's paper. Is that area as bad as everybody says it is?
I think, to give you a little foreshadowing of what I'm going to write, I think there's bit of a misunderstanding. I think when you got feet on the ground, you realize that the real biggest problem there is simply traffic. It's not about thieves and that sort of thing. Traffic is the problem at Alvernon and Grant.
Okay. Dylan Smith, time running out, but TucsonSentinel.com, that match is still going till New Year's.
Indeed. TucsonSentinel.com is your local nonprofit journalism organization. We really rely on community support. And right now, through the 31st of this month, if you give to TucsonSentinel.com, your donation will be doubled. It will be matched dollar for dollar, and we really appreciate all the support we've been getting.
Very good. Joe, anything you want to tell about your writing for the weekend paper?
You know, I've got a story about an ambitious plan by the city council to ban a toxic foam that's being used for firefighting. It's the city might be the first in the nation to opt to ban the use of it anywhere inside the city limits.
Never heard of anything like that. Thank you very much, Joe. We'll look for that story, Tim. Thank you, Tim, for all your support.
Thank you.
And Dylan, thanks for your work.
Thank you, sir.
Hope you all have a great Christmas season. Thank you very much.
You too, Bill.
Coming up, thanks, Bill. Matt Russell, Weekend Watch, next.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buck
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Ever dream of taking a river cruise? Bon Voyage Travel introduces you to Ama Waterways. You'll explore authentic culture in captivating landscapes in luxury and comfort. All on board an award-winning fleet while you travel through incredible cities and villages in Europe, Southeast Asia, and Africa. Picture yourself on the river, indulging in Ama Waterways' locally inspired cuisine paired with complimentary wine with every lunch and dinner. Contact Bon Voyage Travel today to customize your river cruise vacation.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They want to wish all of the Buckmaster Show listeners a very Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah. If you've got some time off over the holidays, it's only a three-hour drive to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment, the southwest corner there. Check it out on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. All the great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities in historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Here's the longtime host of Weekend Watch, been with us pretty much since day one when we launched the project in January of 2011. He's Matt Russell, award-winning Tucson publicist. He's the Inside Tucson Business Food and Beverage columnist. And once a year on this, I know Matt does the Christmas party thing. He gets out the Santa Claus suit. It's been in dry cleaning, and it's been dry cleaned over the years. Unfortunately, it has shrunk a little bit, but Matt, with his love of what he's done with On the Menu Live and all the good eating he's done, he still tries to get into the suit. How did it go this year?
Well, you know, I thought about filing a suit against my dry cleaners for shrinking the suit every year, but alas, Bill Buckmaster, I think I've been the one growing. So I love my dry cleaners. I have no ill will against them.
It's green corn tamale season, isn't it?
It absolutely is. You know, from a culinary perspective around these parts, that's what Christmas is all about, the tamale. And, you know, there are more wonderful tamale purveyors in Tucson that I have time to talk about. But this weekend, a delicious expression of the tamale is being unveiled at Boca Tacos on 4th Avenue. Now, this is a green corn tamale, and it's served at the center of the plate over a smoked honey and cheese sauce. So just imagine the sweetness of that corn and the honey with that smoky profile and that rich cheese definitely puts the tamale at the top of my weekend watch list. It's not just about tacos at Boca. It's unwrap some tamales there this weekend.
Wow, those flavors just explode. That is too much. We've got winter salsa time, don't we?
We do. You know, David Levy reminds me that tomorrow is the day when one of the Earth's poles has its maximum tilt away from the sun. It is the shortest day of the year, and we call it winter solstice. And the Crooked Tooth Brewing Company on East 6th Street will be in solstice celebration mode tomorrow from 6 to 9 p.m. They're going to have a local astronomer there giving a talk. There's going to be a workshop on self-care, solstice-centric cuisine from local food trucks. But the best part, there's going to be six commemorative beers there that will that were all brewed under recent full moons in Tucson.
Wow.
The winter solstice gets a little sudsy tomorrow at Crooked Tooth.
Want to wish you a happy holiday, Matt Russell. Thank you so much for all you do with our Weekend Watch. Check out Matt in the Inside Tucson business. Anyway, I want to wish everybody, because we are literally down to the final few seconds of this Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show before Christmas,
Happy Hanukkah, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. We'll be back with you Monday. On behalf of all of us at Bustos Media in Tucson, want to wish you a Merry Christmas. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, which is wholly responsible for our program. Have a great holiday weekend.